Thank you very much. We're talking about serving today, about volunteering. We have the volunteer weeks and we got a volunteer fair. And my problem now is that I need to preach until he is done. So it may be that you gotta skip, lunch today, probably dinner. Anybody has a work to do tomorrow? No, he can do it. Can you open it? Okay, great. Did you hear about the teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots? He asked for help and she could see why. With her pulling and him pushing, the boot still didn't want to go on. When the second boot was on, she had worked up a sweat. She almost whimpered when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked and sure enough, they were. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. She managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on, this time on the right feet. He then announced, "These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than get right in his face and scream, "Why didn't you say so?" like she wanted to. Once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off. He then said, "They are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know if she should laugh or cry. She mustered up the grace and courage she had to wrestle the boots on his feet again. She said, "Okay, we're done now. But where's your mittens?" He said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Yeah, sometimes serving is not easy. That's right. Today we're talking about serving, and this is probably you saw it on the bulletin on front, and probably this is the reason you saw the bulletin saying serving God by serving others, and probably this is the reason why the first few rows are almost empty. Everybody's like hiding a little bit and say, is he talking about me today? The answer is yes. Why? Because serving is an integral part. Okay, 2.5 more hours. Serving is an integral part of the life of a Christian. We were talking a little bit about it on the church camp last weekend. And response was really awesome. People were really touched. So I hope, no matter if you came with an open heart today or when you read the sermon title, you closed to shut up your heart, I hope that God is talking to you, because it's not about me, it's not about IBC, it's about God. And it's about your relationship with God. And I know that serving is something that usually sounds very unattractive. Serving sounds like I'm working full time during the week, so on weekends I need 2 days off. And on church day I need some input. I need to be filled, to be equipped for the next week. Yeah, that's right. Totally right. But if you think that serving means that energy is sucked out of your body, if you believe that serving means that you even give more than you receive, then probably you don't have a wrong view about serving. Or it may be that you had experiences with serving and you experienced that, okay, I was serving in a certain area for a while, and after a while I found out I was kind of burned out. My joy was gone. I even didn't want to go to church anymore. Yes, if you had that kind of experience, I'm really sorry. But could it be that the problem was not serving, but the problem was that you were serving in a wrong area? Because serving is an integral part of a Christian living. And today I brought you, I think it's five different points to mention that a little bit. First of all, we are created to serve. In Ephesians 2:10 we can read, God made us, He created us to belong to Christ Jesus. Now we can do good things. Long ago, God prepared them for us to do. We are created to serve. Why? Because it has to do with my relationship to God. I mentioned that last week too, but I'm going to repeat this. See, the situation in the Garden of Eden. What happened? God was creating man so that he can have a relationship, fellowship. And then he found out that Adam was a typical man. He needed more, so he created Eve. And both of them, they were created to have fellowship with God. And probably we should talk about relationship and marriage stuff, because this triangle, God, man, women, is very interesting. What happened there is very interesting. But today, we talk about serving. So what happens? Adam and Eve, just say they ate this fruit, which we usually call an apple. It wasn't an apple. And the relationship between God and men and women was broken. Actually, God has said, if you eat from the fruit, you gotta die. Disobedience, like always. We are human beings. And what did God do? It was said that God was wandering through the Garden of Eden like he always did. And he was seeking for Adam and Eve. Why? Because he was longing for fellowship. That was the main reason. And he didn't want to embarrass Adam and Eve, though I think this scene is very hilarious if you think about it. I mean, it's like my little daughter. She sometimes hides like behind the stand. Oh, you can't see me. Daddy, where am I? And I'm running around like, Sarah, where are you? Where are you? And she's behind the stand.
You can't see me.
Sarah, where are you? Oh, there you are. I found you. And God did the same thing. I mean, God is knowing everything. But he is walking through the Garden of Eden, and what is he doing? He's not blaming Adam and Eve. He's asking, Adam, where are you? Why? Because he was longing for fellowship. We have to keep this in mind, because we very often forget that God is not only with us, but for us. God loves us. And God wants us to have a good life. God wants us to have a fulfilled life. So he's running after us. And no matter where we are hiding or how we are hiding, he's calling us. And he's asking, Jürgen, where are you? Where are you? I want you. And I'm very often so stupid, like, not stupid is a bad word. I'm like my little daughter, unmature, say it that way. Try to hide behind the scenes and, oh God, you cannot see me. We were created to have fellowship with God. And one integral part was that God created us to serve. In multiple ways. For me as a husband, to serve my wife. For me as a Christian, to serve Him. For me as somebody who participates in church, to serve God through the church. To serve my neighbor. And so on and so on. To serve my kids. We are created to serve. And Scott showed a picture, I think it's 2 weeks ago, he showed a plane, and on the screen he asked, what is this plane made for? And we all said, oh yeah, going on vacation. No. Actually, it's meant to fly. Also can fly business people to work. Not only if you see a plane that has to do with a vacation. The purpose of a plane is flying. And if a plane had emotions, and you would use a plane like we use ourselves as servants, we just would put it in the shelf or somewhere, oh, it's, and we just watch and say, oh, it's a nice plane, oh, it looks so beautiful, the plane would be frustrated. Something would be missing because the purpose of the plane is flying. So could it be because we are created to serve that one reason why we are so often frustrated and not satisfied is because we are like a plane that is put beside like a stuffed animal. We are not doing what we were created for. We were created to serve, and we don't do it because we are so busy. We're so untalented. We're so, I don't know which excuse we always have. I only know my excuses. Second is, we are saved to serve. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Sin came into this world. We all know this story. And it's a nice fairy tale for kids. Oh yes, Adam and Eve and the apple and the snake. Sin came into this world. Hey guys, this is no fairy tale. This is reality. Sin came into this world and destroyed our relationship to God. Destroyed our fellowship to God. Destroyed the whole earth. We are not living in an earth anymore like it was created. We live in a fallen world. And I only have to open the newspaper to see that we are living in a fallen world. And we all came to the point one day in our life where God spoke to us and said, you know what, Jürgen, I need to call you out of this world because I want to save you. You ran away from my will, so I've sent Jesus so that you may be forgiven. And at one point in my life, I was on my knees and I was praying, God, here's my life. Take it. Renew me. Make me a new human being. Make me a human being with a changed heart. And to be honest, I didn't do that only one time. Did I ever tell you that this church was the first place in my life where somebody else came to Christ in my hands? Wow, it was right there behind the sanctuary in the center office. And when I prayed with this woman, I renewed my covenant. And since that time, I renewed it many times because I'm still running away. And that's our problem. We are saved to serve. We're called out of this world to live a new life. For if you are in Christ, you are a new person, a new identity. And then I go out of this church, I start my daily routine, and I live my life like I lived it before. I don't know how it is in your life, but very often if my daily routine comes, I forget about those things. And if I see Christianity in total, Christianity in Germany, I see a big lack of commitment. We're talking about, yes, we are light of the world, hallelujah, and then we behave like everybody else behaves. We say, we are a letter of Christ, we are messengers of Christ. If people see us, they see Christ. And very often, when I lay in my bed, I'm embarrassed because I see when people see me, well, they must expect a bad Christ. I'm really embarrassed about myself. We are saved to serve. Primarily God. We're called out of our old life. And we came to the point one day in our life and said, yes, we have understood. If my ego is on the throne, and if I am reigning, if my pride is reigning, if my wills are reigning, if it is me that's on the throne, my life goes in a disastrous way. This life leads to what we call hell, the Gehenna, a life without God. It's my own life. So I came to this point and said, God, I need you. Be the Lord of my life. Be the guide of my life. Show me my way. And still I'm lying Relationship with God again. It is He, God, who saved us and chose us for His holy work. Not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan. It was God's plan. I don't deserve anything. But it was God's love who said, Jürgen, let me call you out of this. Next step is we are called to serve. In Galatians 5:13, we can read, serve one another humbly in love. It's not only that fellowship has to do with serving, that God created us to serve, that God has called us out to serve, that He saved us to serve. It's a command that God said, serve one another. What's the motivation? Love. And if I look to this love, to this world, humbly in love. This I told this before. This word in Greek is called agape. There's different Greek words we translate with love. There's this friendship love, philia. There is this love between man and wife, eros. I don't have to explain to most of you. And then there's agape. Because of agape, we should serve one another. What is agape love? Agape love is the love Jesus has lived. Jesus has loved. It's a love that is giving without expecting to receive back. It's a love that holds the other person higher than myself. That's agape love. Whoa. And out of this motivation, we should serve one another. And here comes a really bad point for me. Because very often I don't love my brothers and sisters. Very often I sit on my table and say, why should I serve this or that person? Because those persons are annoying me. Or I don't like them. Or they were hurting me. Or whatever. So why should I love those people? They're mean. They don't like my kids. They gossip about me. You know what? Probably I haven't understood what agape love is. Or probably it could be that God has not changed my heart. That's still my old Adam that's talking. My old ego is on the throne. You can do so. That's right. Reminds me of a servant. Hey, fruit, eat. And we're like, yes, okay, great. You're right. You're still not done. That's my old ego that's on the throne. If I don't love my brothers and sisters, and this has not much to do with emotions, I believe when Jesus was there on the cross, He didn't have butterflies for the people that killed Him in His belly. But He was acting in love. He had a decision that said, I'm doing this because I love those people, and they need to be saved. So even if I don't love those people I just mentioned emotionally, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't want to say any names because this would be mean. Don't get it. I don't know. Melvin, you know that I love you. So it's just because you sit closest to me. If Melvin would have hurt me or would have been mean to me, which he has never been, okay? Melvin was always good to me. Make that clear. But if Melvin did so, and I would say at home, no, I'm not praying for Melvin, I'm not serving Melvin. If he calls me and said I'm in this for legal, well, I'm not helping him because he's mean. It's not his problem, it's my problem, because my decision was for my own ego and not pro God and so pro Melvin. So if we have these feelings and say, oh, I don't like to serve people because I don't love them, it could be that we need a tremendous change. Next step is we are gifted to serve. In 1 Peter, and there's a lot of different Bible verses. In 1 Peter it says, as each has received a gift. Moment, wait. What does it say? As? Whom has received the gift? Whom? Yeah. Each. That means me too, so I'm...
Each.
We all! You have received gifts. I have received gifts. Melvin has received gifts.
David has received gifts. He has received the gift to craft. Sharice has received the gift. Everybody has received gifts.
It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And again, we are already gifted. It's not that I have to sit down the whole day and say, okay,
I would like to be the worship leader now. So, God, you need to give it to me. God, I want to be the worship leader. Or, I want to be the preacher. Or, I want to be the guy that fixes clocks.
We are already gifted. And of course, we should pray for more gifts. But first of all, it would be good if we look into our hearts and say, okay, God, help me to find my gifts.
Help me to find out what my heart is beating for. And then I promise you, if you use this gift in the motivation of love, you will earn satisfaction in your life that you probably cannot imagine before
yet. I was invited to a service for unchurched people yesterday in Wittstock. Before I left, I was already deadly tired. My wife forced me to do a cycle trip with my kids. No, she didn't force me. We wanted to do a cycle tour, and I was tired the whole day. So after I came home by my bike, I was like, oh no, I'm so tired. So I had to go 1.5 hours on the Autobahn with my car, and I had to switch my air conditioner on very cold so that I don't fall asleep. But I know this is what God has gifted me for, to preach to the unchurched. I went there to Wittstock Dosse. Does anybody know Wittstock Dosse? Can you raise your hand? Anybody have heard of? Okay, you know. 1, 2, 3. If you don't know it, you don't need to know it. It's in the middle of nowhere. Everybody's moving away, but still there are some Christians say, okay, those who are still here, they need Jesus. So I came there, they invited a great band. And they had a great program, and then I went to the pulpit and I said, one of the first things I said, I'm tired. And I started preaching. They had a sermon title, as it was called, Celebrate Your Life. Wow. And after 5 minutes, I felt like the Holy Spirit was really touching me and I was really on fire. And afterwards, several people converted to Christ. Several people came up and kind of gave their life again. Several people came and said, you know what? I'm lukewarm. I need fire. When I went home last night, I was home about 12 o'clock. Guess what? I was still tired. I was even more tired. But I was full of joy. I was full of joy. The things I wanted to do is close my eyes, raise my hands, say, thank you, Lord. If you go 160 on the Autobahn, you shouldn't do that. But you know what I mean. If you find your gifts and you use your gifts, guess what? Your life becomes richer. Your life becomes alive to the full. Next one, we are commanded to serve. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Both have to do with each other. I was becoming a Christ. Is it working?
Let's do it. It's got all the parts together. There are no parts left on the table.
Let's do it. So I believe it will work. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. What does it mean? When I became a Christian, about 29 years ago, the most important thing for me was to be filled by God, to get new energy. No. The biggest thing was that He would take sins away. I gotta be honest. But then it was like God, I need you. God, I want you. God, guide me. And after a while, the preacher came to me and said, did you find out? Very often, if you pray, if you read the Bible, if you go to the service, it's still about you. You want to be filled. You ask God, teach me, guide me. Very often, it's you still in the center. And he says, you know what? It says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. If you want to worship God, serving has to do with it. And it can be that if you serve God, God is speaking to you more than if you sit in a worship service and you expect, okay, the preacher is preaching, God, talk to me. It may be that if I serve, God is giving me miracles I would expect in a usual worship service. I go to a service and say, okay, let's pray for the sick. And we wonder, it's working. Probably it has to do with my service, if I am willing to serve or not. That I receive miracles in my life, that God is speaking to me, that God is talking to me through Bible reading, that God is guiding me. It has to do with service. And the next is, our service is needed. Thank you very much, David. To Christ, but we didn't. We're not Christians. We like the atmosphere, we like to have Christian friends, we like the service, we come here, everything's great. But we didn't give our life. This topic, our service is needed, is a little bit crazy. On the one hand, yes, your service is needed. Because God has called you, has gifted you, has commanded you to serve, he has saved you to serve, and he has created you to serve. So he wants you to be part of the system, part of the church. On the other hand, to be honest, God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. Who do I believe that God, who do I believe that I, who I am, that I think God needs me? God could call thousands and thousands better preachers than I am. But God has said, Jürgen, I want you. That's why I'm needed. And God has called you, you and you and you and you and you, and said, I want you. That's why you are needed. And if we find excuses why we don't serve God through the church.
The church becomes like this cult. It's not working anymore. Probably it looks nice and says, oh, my kids will love it. I only go for today. So that my kids, the whole week, they say, can we play with it? Can we play with it? From today on, they can. It probably looks nice. And it's a nice toy. But it's not fulfilling its purpose anymore. If we dream of life to the full,
if we dream of churches that grow in both ways, in maturity and in numbers. If we want to grow in maturity and in faith, we need to serve God through the church. So very often I stood in front at the pulpit and I was begging people and I said, you know what, we counted, we need about 50 people, 50, 50 people to cover the whole kids ministry. We need a German teacher and we need an English teacher. 50 people. So please think about serving for the kids. We're in desperate need in several places. Beamer team, sound team, translation team. We are in desperate need of people. So what I did almost my whole life, I was begging people and said, could you please help? Because there is people like Iranian people like that came that are really good friends. They don't speak English, they don't speak German well enough. They speak Farsi. So we need people like Reza, who is gifted. He speaks perfect German, he speaks perfect English and Farsi. We need people like him. And we need people who translate in German, because always we have guests here that don't speak English, that are from Germany. We are a church in Germany. We are in need of you. Ushers, a lot more places. But my attitude was wrong. You know why? Because you are gifted, you are commanded, you are called out, you are saved, and you are created to serve. So if God has given you any gift, it is an honor that He calls you to serve. See it that way. It is an honor that we are able to serve. It's a privilege. So if you speak German and English fluently, pray about it. If you found out that you're gifted to work with kids, pray about it. If you found out that you can handle a computer at home, pray about it. It may be that God has given you this gift to serve. And if you do so, I guarantee you, it's a privilege. God does not need you. Last but not least, I'm sorry that I took so long. We serve because of Jesus. Your attitude must be like my own, Jesus said. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. I think almost everything is said. The only thing is to come back to the beginning. You know, the fall of mankind, because of the sin coming to this world, God is restoring us. So what was our purpose? To become more like Jesus Christ. So if we don't have the attitude of Jesus Christ, it may be that we need a long way. So I ask you to think from the end. God, where do you want me to be? Say in a year. How shall I be with my character, with my faith? In 1 year. And then start from the beginning. What is the next step? And if you found out all this talk about serving is something where you feel offended or you feel like, oh, no, I ask you to do the same. Pray about it. And if you ever have been hurt because you served on a place where you get frustrated, pray about it. Pray about it. Go to God and say, God, what is my place? What do you want me to serve? God, give me the time I need. Give me the energy I need. And then bless me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, well, that's a hard topic to talk about, serving. Because when we think about serving, very often we feel like, oh, we already give 150% and now we should give 50 more percent. But you've said that your burdens are not heavy. And you've said, Jesus, that you want to give life to the full. And you've said, Jesus, that one part or the way to find this life to the full is to serve you. And you've called us to a church. And you called us into this worldwide church. And we ask you, Father God, that you would show us the place where we should serve, in this church or in the worldwide church. That we not go home and think about, oh yeah, that was a nice day today. And I liked the coffee and the cake was good. But that we allow you to put your fingers into our wounds. Father God, and then we allow you to touch our hearts. So Father God, for those people who have open hearts for you, I ask that you would now come with the Holy Spirit and that you would fill those people and that you would talk right now to all of us where is our place to serve. And that we trust in you, that you would give us a place where we are not overwhelmed, but that you take care of the balance of our usual life, our families, our work, our hobbies, and serving the church. And that we live in balance, and that we find out if we obey your word, and we start serving at the place you prepared for us, that our life becomes richer. And Father God, I pray for those who feel offended right now, or who say, I don't like that at all, that you would talk to the hearts of the people. It's between you and them. It's not about the church, it's not about me, it's not about the ministry fair today, it's about you and us. So Father, first of all, take care of our relationships and show us where our relationships has burdens or borders or probably is even cut off. And bring us back to you, Jesus. Bring us back to the cross. And let us repent where we went the wrong way. Father God, I ask for blessing for the ministry fair we're going to have in a second, that you would help that we are not jumping in gaps, but that we find places to serve that fit to our gifts. Bless all the ministry leaders, and I'm very thankful for all of them. And bless everybody who's open to serve. Amen.